Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We're still going to sing that song again, but we'll pray first and then we'll sing that song. It's a very powerful song. We'll turn it into prayer. We're going to start this night service with total surrender. Total surrender. Total surrender. These are not the kinds of songs to sing when you are not serious with God. You see, until it touches you, it cannot touch the heart of God. So I'd like you to pray whilst you are there. Just find a way of crying before God and say, Father, everything I have, my crowns, my ambition, everything I have, those who are connected online, we're taking a moment to truly be surrendered. This is a song that requires broken vessels, yielded vessels, contrite vessels. Not just church attendants, not just Christians. These are songs of intimacy. These are dimensions in the spirit where you must mean business with God. Lift your voice in 1 minute. Express yourself before your Father, before your Maker, before your lover. Sabalanda kaprandege belege baratu siata. It is of your fullness we have received, grace upon grace. We yield our lives, we yield our everything. No life outside you. Sing it for me. Here's a part of the song I'd like you to listen to. Let me know. Sing that part again. Let me know you more and more. Sing it again. Let it become a revelation in your spirit, man. Let me know you. One more time from the depth of your spirit. Let me know you more and more. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Yes, Lord. My life, my time, everything belongs to you. My life is yours. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just the voices. Just the voices. Sing, yes, Lord. Ah. Sabranda balaga barato. My life. One more time from your heart to his ears. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? matchless love and beauty, endless world. For nothing in this world can satisfy. Truly, Jesus, you're the cup that will run dry. Sing it again. Who is like you, Lord? Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Listen to what you are saying in this song of worship. Matchless love and beauty, endless world.
There's nothing in this world.
Nothing in this world can satisfy.
Jesus, you're the cup.
Jesus, you're the cup that will run dry. Jesus, you're the cup. One more time. Jesus, you're the cup that will run dry. Jesus, you're the cup that will run dry. Jesus, you're the cup that will run dry. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. One more time. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Father, with our hands lifted, we honor you. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to pour our hearts in worship, to declare our love for you as we receive the fullness of what you have for us. We do not take your presence for granted. Thank you for your glory that is in this place. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit evident in our midst, changing lives. Thank you for nations who are connected tonight to drink, to draw, to learn, to grow, to rise. In the name of Jesus, I pray that tonight's service will be another encounter, another layer of encounter. And it's to Jesus that all the praise belongs. Amen and amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we sense that atmosphere of worship, there is an anointing on it, you just press with the Spirit and just make sure that you're not in defiance to what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's good to be organized, but it's best to be sensitive. Hallelujah. So that you don't allow yourself to be so organized that you push his presence out. If all he wants us to do is just roll and cry before him and share the grace and go, he is the Lord of hosts. So learn this, be excellent, be organized, but you must be sensitive. It is of his fullness that we receive, and whatever he does not give, you cannot receive. So when you come into his presence, you must be sensitive. Every aspect of the service, I have taught you, there are five channels through which God visits his people in any service. Number one is through the channel of prayer. Number two is through the channel of praise and heartfelt worship. Number three is through the channel of testimonies. Number four is through the ministry of the word. Number five is through our corporate fellowship together. So every time we're gathered, don't just wait until the word of God is coming and then you shut down at every other thing that happens. You can miss your moment. And sometimes spiritual things, just one song of worship can be where the anointing is for you. and you can miss it through carelessness. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect? You see that? Hallelujah. Please be seated. God bless you. Good evening, everybody. And to our family connected across the globe, this is Koinonia. We're honored to be bringing you the life, the wisdom, the grace of God. It's a joy to disciple nations and to help not just our immediate community, not just our nation, not just our global family, but the body of Christ and humanity at large. It gives me profound joy every week as I have the opportunity to stand here to dispense wisdom, to dispense life applicable truths that will change and build our hearts. And I'm excited about what God will be sharing with us tonight. And let me encourage all those who are connected. You may be far from here by distance, but your faith can draw you so near, so near. He said the word is nigh thee in thy heart and in your mouth. So do not let distance distract you. You're watching by television, through your device, and from whatever nation at all. I want you to believe that this is your word tonight. Be ready to listen. You must carry the posture of a student. I told you in Koinonia, we don't have fans. There's no such thing as I am a fan. That fan mentality does not exist here. We have well-wishers, and then we have people who are connected genuinely for the purpose of growth. A fan has no inheritance. You don't receive anything. You just celebrate the success of others and use it to motivate yourself, and that's all to it. But when you are connected by faith genuinely, then you see that you not only admire, you become a partaker of that which is happening there. Hallelujah. It's my desire. And every time I pray, preparing for any service whatsoever, my prayer and my joy is, number one, that God will grant me grace and capacity to communicate truths so that it gets to his people as he desired. Number two, that the people's hearts will be malleable enough to receive. You see that now? To believe that which they are hearing and then to receive. May the word change you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Tonight we'll be learning a dimension of ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ left with us. When he walked upon the earth, there are very specific things that he did as touching the revelation of the Father to the people. And the Bible is full of documentations of some of the things that Jesus did. He preached, he casted out devils, he healed the sick, he provided for the welfare of the people. And it's important that in learning to become like God and to function as ambassadors of the kingdom, we must understand the scope of our ministry corporately. In as much as it's important to understand our mandate, and for those of you who may not know, we have individual assignments. Please lend me your attention. We have individual assignments as God has allotted to every man. You call it your purpose, you call it your assignment. Your contribution to the larger program of Kingdom Come is called your assignment. However, we have a corporate mandate as believers that every time you get born again and you come into Christ, among the many things you need to learn is the corporate mandate of the believers. And there are two scriptures, in fact, three scriptures that tie together to reveal our corporate mandate. One is John chapter 1, 6 and 7. The Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7 says, the same came for a witness. Came for a witness. He did not come to preach. He didn't come to prophesy. Preaching, prophesying, baptism were just tools. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. This was the end, that all men through him might believe. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. There you see again. witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, it says, with great power gave the apostles witness. There you see the word again. Witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So we are not just witnesses of what we want. We are witnesses of the resurrection. The word witness there means a validator. We are validators that Jesus died. We are validators that Jesus rose again. We are validators that he's seated enthroned today. We are validators that he came to give life. We are validators that God is love. That means our life should be all about proving to creation that all of these things that he said and did were not a lie. That's why he gave us the anointing. That's why he gives us all of these heavenly resources. Number one, so that we will experience victory while serving his purposes. But the bigger goal is not just to experience victory for victory's sake. Buying a car, a house, running your life with the level of dexterity you desire, that's only one part. It's an inferior part. The greater part of your living is that your life becomes a witness. Who is following now? A witness. And if you do not know the scope of your job description, you will not be effective as far as your witness is concerned. So tonight we are going to take one of those dimensions of the ministry of Jesus. I'm going to be teaching on the healing ministry. The healing ministry. Tonight we are bringing healing to the nations. We want to understand from the word of God, the healing ministry. It's a powerful teaching that will bless you. The healing ministry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 10. We'll read from verse 1. Matthew chapter 10 from verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, the Bible says he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses. Now, I just wanted to see that. We're going back to the book of Isaiah where Jesus read his mandate from. But I want you to see something here. The Bible never said he healed just a specific kind. He said all manner. Everybody say all manner. All manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. He healed all manner of sickness. Immediately, that should suggest to you that the healing ministry goes beyond the scope of what we know. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61, please. Jesus would read this later on when he came in the flesh walking in the temple. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. When Jesus walked in the flesh and took the scroll of Isaiah, after reading this scripture, the one sign he gave that validated that he was the one anointed to fulfill this mandate was healing. He looked at the Bible. The Bible says in Luke chapter 20, when he closed the book, he gave it to the minister. They fastened their eyes on him. And then he told them this scripture is fulfilled before their eyes. And he saw a man with a withered hand, the Bible says, and he told the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth his hand, and that man was healed. And they were amazed. What manner of thing is this? We have seen one who has come to heal. We have seen one who has come to give life. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. We'll look at a number of scriptures 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. Healing how many? Healing all they that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Now, from a theological standpoint, we're still going to consider three other scriptures, but let me just put a preamble. The Bible lists at least five benefits that come with salvation. When a man encounters Christ, there are at least five benefits. This is not new to us, but I'm establishing it because of what we're discussing. We find the five benefits in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 lists for us the five benefits. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. And then the Bible begins to list them. Number one, forgiveness. Who forgives all your iniquities? And then number two, who healed all your diseases? You see healing there. Number three, who redeems your life from destruction? That's deliverance. Number four, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, honor and victory? Number five, who satisfied your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? It says, as you bless the Lord, do not forget these benefits. They are the benefits that come when you serve the Lord. And one of the benefits we see there is healing. But for the purpose of our discussion tonight, I will broaden the subject of healing so that we understand the full scope of what it entails. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 15 from verse 26 is the first time in scripture we see the mention of a name of God that is called Rapha. Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. I've told you that one of the ways we know God, perhaps I should just digress for a moment and do a quick recap, that according to scripture, there are four major ways we know God. The first way we know God, please everybody listen, is through scripture. The revelation of God as captured in scripture. He said, the scriptures testify of me. The first way we know God is through the scripture. Number two, the second way we know God is by studying his names. Still through scripture, but we pick his names one by one. Contained within his names are a revelation of his multifaceted dimension. Are we together? Jireh, Rapha, Sikenu, all of those names have they capture and they trap a description. They reveal the nature of God. They reveal the power of God. They reveal the wisdom of God. So by studying the names of God as captured in scripture, you can learn God. You can understand in detail his character and the way he operates. Number three, the third way we learn God is studying the man, Jesus. Studying the man, Jesus. It is the most accurate way of learning God. Albeit through scripture, but Jesus came as the perfect representation of God. Please listen carefully. If you want to study, I've taught you here the three reasons why Jesus came. I'm doing my best to not digress too far so that we go straight to the topic. But it's important that I laid some of these foundations. One of the major assignments of Jesus when he walked upon the earth was not just to die for man's sin. There are three major assignments of Jesus as he walked upon the earth. Hallelujah. Number one, Jesus walked upon the earth to reveal and correct our understanding about God. He came to edit our understanding about God. Until Jesus came, our knowledge about God was a mix of accuracy and inaccuracy. Because until he came and until the Holy Ghost was poured upon the church, there was no possibility of a corporate indwelling of the Holy Spirit in every believer, one by one. Are we together? And so most people depended on the viewpoint of prophets and priests to educate them as to who God was. And the prophets and the priests were human. They made a lot of mistakes in their conclusions about God. So until Jesus came, there were many things that were credited to God that now from the lens of the life of Jesus, we know were not accurate. Because we see in part and we prophesy in part. So many things were credited to God. And if you do not study Jesus, you will misunderstand God. If you read through scripture, you will see descriptions of God as proposed by the prophets, either through their experiences or through their visions. And you will find out that the margin of error for some of the prophets was very wide. There were things they said about God that was not about God at all. Everything that was divine, everything that was spiritual, everything beyond the realm and the scope of science, they credited it to God. So Jesus came as a marking script. He came to correct our understanding about God. This is already a miracle for someone. So you can now read your Bible freely. And when you see disturbing statements, you find peace because you will verify with Jesus. You have a right to probe everything written in scripture using the man, Jesus. So everything they said God was in the Old Testament and across the Bible, you have to verify using Jesus. So for instance, like I've taught you here, the Bible says God is love. There's no reason for us to believe that statement until we check the life of Jesus. When he walked upon the earth, did he demonstrate love? Yes. So now we can settle it for a fact that truly God is love. Are we together? When you read such statements like a lying spirit came out from the Lord, you see, you find some of those controversial statements. Now we know that it was an error in vision, interpretation, or judgment on the part of those who saw and wrote those things. Because when Jesus came in the flesh, the Bible tells us that he was full of grace and truth. So it was not possible for a lying spirit. The Spirit of God itself is called the Spirit of Truth. So saying a lying spirit came out from the Lord is an indictment on his character. Are we together? He's the Father of light in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. The same scripture said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of God that he should repent. So a lying spirit cannot proceed from him. Remember when Zechariah doubted Gabriel. Gabriel was sad because he said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. In other words, will I leave the presence of God and carry a lie and bring to you? It's an indictment on God's character. That was why God backed him in shutting Zechariah's mouth till he agreed with the truth. No prayer, the mouth open. Are we learning now? So we learn Jesus. We learn God as we study Jesus. The last way that we know God, even though it's the weakest of all the four, but it's still important, is experience. Experience can teach you something about God. You can hear that he's a deliverer, but the day you go through storms personally, you have a personal revelation of the deliverer. There was something Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew about God after they came out of that pit that nobody would have been able to teach them. There was something Daniel got to know about God. There was something Joseph got to know about God. Are we together? He said, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the river, when you walk through fire. Let me tell you the truth. There are certain things about God that only pain can teach. Only disappointment can teach. That's why the Bible says to give thanks in all things. You may want to listen to my message, The Other Side of Faith. The other side of faith, that sometimes we go through unfavorable things, but in the midst of all of these things, we may not obtain promises, but we obtain a good report. The good report of consistency in the midst of storms, and a good report of having a heightened, more personal and experiential knowledge of God. Is someone learning now? By the time you've gone through sicknesses, I'm not saying it is God that causes it. Remember, we're teaching healing to the nations. But something happens to you when you have gone through the valley of the shadow of death and you've now seen the deliverer come through for you. Certain fears die because now you are no longer afraid of certain things. You've been there, you've gone through everything and God brought you out. So when you are telling people that God is a good God, for you it's not a memory verse. You are reciting your testimony. You had the testimony of our father. You see that now? It's not so for you. You are not just saying something that because you found it in scripture or it's a cliche among believers. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, so Exodus 15:26. And he said, if thou wilt walk diligently and hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do all that is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, he says, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Right there is the word Rapha. That's what it means. To heal, to restore. I am the God that healeth thee. Second scripture, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 30, please, and then verse 17. Let's read together in concert. Ready? Read. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of their wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man. Hallelujah. Now you look at the context of this. Can you see that this goes beyond bodily healing? If you understand the context of that statement, because they say you are an outcast, that no man seeks after you, so I will restore health and I will heal thee of your wounds. Final scripture, and then I'll begin to teach. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 6. We're considering the healing ministry. God, in this season, I believe, is bringing healing to the nations. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Hallelujah. Now, man is tripartite. As we know, we have learned this elementary theology, elementary Bible knowledge teaches us that man is primarily a spirit, and that spirit is hosted in a mortal body. The word mortal means, it's not an accurate word, but it means death doomed, bound to the elements of the earth. So man, or let me just, for a better expression, just say man, the spirit is hosted in a body, and that body and that spirit, without those solical faculties, do not have a basis for interaction. And so we have the solical faculties of will, emotions, and intellect primarily, even though other materials extend other things, imagination and so on and so forth, intuition, but we'll work with these three for now. So listen again, that man is tripartite in his buildup. We find that, in fact, in Philippians chapter 4, give us 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4. 6 and 7, just to prove that tripartite structure, it says be careful. The word careful there is not an accurate rendition. You know that by now. The word there is be anxious. It's rather talking about anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It says let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7, it says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus. Did I get that? I pray that your spirit, soul, and body be kept. That's the scripture I'm looking for. Can you find it for me, media? Your spirit, is it verse 8? Or is it, please search it for me. Thank you. Beautiful. First Thessalonians, let's go there. We'll read it together. And the very God of peace, that's right, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit, you see there, and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is speaking to the church in Thessalonica, and he's saying, the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I'm praying that your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved. Hallelujah. It says, I wish above all things that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So I'm just establishing for you that man is tripartite. And by tripartite, I need to explain this because it's been an age-long confusion. I think we touched a little on it a year or 2 years ago. Tripartite does not mean three distinct entities separate from one another. No, no, no. That's inaccurate understanding. Because our understanding of tripartite is like the body can lie as a separate entity, the soul as a separate entity, the spirit as a separate entity. No, that's not, the Bible does not teach that. Are we together? There are tripartite expressions within man, but there are only two entities in man. It is always spirit or soul, depending, and I'll explain to you the meaning. So if a man dies, what comes out of that man is called soul. Are we together now? The spirit in partnership with solical faculties of will, emotion, and intellect. Are we learning now? So it's not three people. Two now go wherever, then only one. The remaining balance now lies down on the ground. That's not accurate. You are primarily a spirit and you reside in a body. But that spirit and that body, because of the variation in dimensions, you are not able to interact. Are we together now? And so midwifing that spirit and that soul is an invention of solical faculties, of the will, the emotion. The will is not a human being. The will is an attachment to the spirit that helps it to interact with the body. Are you getting that now? Your emotions, your intellect, these are not entities in themselves. They are psychological attachments to the spirit to be able to help convey thoughts, feelings, ideas, and impulses to the body. Are we learning now? So when you say man is soul, you are saying a spirit that is in connection with a sense of consciousness, the will, emotions, and intellect functional with that spirit. That's what makes it a soul. Are we together now? If you do not understand this, you already be confused, because if you are praying for yourself, you don't even know what part of you are praying for. Are we together now? Man is a spirit, man is a soul. My goodness, it's been an age-long confusion. Others say I'm a spirit, and you are right. Others say you are a soul, you are right. The Bible still says you are both. There's no confusion about it at all. Has someone learned something? Praise the name of the Lord. All right, so when the Bible says spirit, soul, and body, the idea is not giving three distinct entities coexisting together. No, he's just trying to separate. The word soul there largely concerns your mind, containing your will, your emotions, and your intellect. Are we together now? Please, you have to get this. It matters that you understand this so that you will understand the full scope of healing. I'm describing to you the tripartite nature of man because every one of those dimensions require healing. And there is a name for the healing of those dimensions. Are we together? The spirit of man needs healing. The primary name of the healing of the spirit is called salvation. Salvation is the healing of the spirit of man. Are we together now? Because every time a man is unsaved, unregenerate, the Bible considers such a man in a state of death spiritually. And so when healing comes for the spirit, it is salvation. You don't lay hands on the spirit to be healed. You don't tell the spirit, rise up and walk. No, that's not for the spirit. The only way the spirit of man gets truly healed, are we together now, is hearing the gospel of salvation. And then a regening, a changing of nature from the nature of sin to the nature of righteousness. That is the healing of the spirit. And a man can be healthy bodily. In fact, a man can be a medical consultant bodily and yet he's dead spiritually. Now, according to scripture, when the Bible says a man is dead, it does not necessarily mean it physically. Remember, he told Adam, in the day that you eat of this tree, you shall die. You know how many more years Adam lived after that? So he was not just talking about the physical death. Biological death was a natural consequence, are we together, of the absence of the nature of God in the spirit of man. It began to spill into his soul, his mind, and then finally to his body. Even in the fallen state, Adam lived hundreds of years. Now we don't have that possibility. At the highest I've seen, that is recorded that I'm aware of is 145 years. At least the one I witnessed was 132. But for most now, they don't go beyond 100. If somebody, in fact, I don't know, I hope my statistics are right, forgive me if it's not, but the last time I checked, the lifespan in Africa, I don't know how accurate that is now, it was about 48 years or so. I don't agree, but I don't know where that statistics came from, because I've seen really old people in Africa. You will live long, though. I said 48 years, and some of you are now thinking of your life. I'm already 45. Are you saying I have 3 more years? No, no, no. You shall not die in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the healing of the spirit is salvation. When we talk about bringing healing to the nations, we are not just talking about bringing a quickening of their flesh. Are we together now? A quickening of their flesh. You have to understand the tripartite dimension of healing. And I'm explaining it to you now. That number one, the healing of the spirit is largely connected to... how do I explain this? Okay, look at this. When God created the fish, he put the fish in water. Is someone learning now? The fish can never survive and function optimally outside of water. Regardless what technological invention, its habitat is water. Am I right on that? The birds, the trees, and the air, and also the earth, that's their habitat. The animals, the same thing. If you take them outside of that ecosystem or that habitat, they will die. But when God was making man, God designed his presence and his life to be man's habitat. So that every time man is outside of his presence and outside of his life, what happens to the fish outside of the sea? What happens to the air when the bird, when it's withdrawn from air, atmosphere, trees, and land? Is exactly what happens to man. Are we together now? Now, because of sin, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Both Jews and Gentiles, everybody, everybody. By reason of carrying that nature of sin, the Bible already gives us that verdict that we have fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means outside of the help of God, everyone from birth, once you arrive here, you are spiritually dead. You arrive alive biologically, but from a spiritual standpoint, are we together? Now, maybe I should just slip in quickly to explain that. So, for babies who die and are not in Christ, they cannot go to hell. The reason why they cannot go to hell is that their will has not partnered with that nature. Once the will of man has not come into partnership with the nature of sin, the person cannot be judged for unrighteousness. Are we together? Yes. That account becomes credited to you the day your will comes into partnership. The same way salvation is yours, but it cannot be your experience until your will comes into partnership with the gospel. Is someone learning now? So for any child that has not gotten to the age of discretion and that child dies, or a child that is mentally retarded and never has an opportunity to consciously hear the gospel, they cannot go to hell. It's impossible. There are three groups of people who, in spite of the fact that they didn't have an opportunity to make a declaration, they cannot be judged by the standard of men. Now, leave that for another. I don't want us to be distracted. But one of it, anybody that did not hear the gospel, he didn't have an opportunity to hear the preaching of the gospel, and they die. God will use the reference of godliness and righteousness while he was alive. That will be the basis of the judgment. Are we together now? Whether it is conscience, whether it is the law, once you die, in every dispensation, God left a witness of godliness. Either through conscience, are we together? Or through the law, or through nature. Something within your environment whilst you are alive was a witness that there is God. And that will be what God will use to judge you, in case you did not hear the gospel. So you will be very surprised that there are people who never had an opportunity to hear the preaching of the gospel, but you will not find them in hell. Because based on the standards of morality of their day, whatever represented God in their day, I don't mean an idol, everything that was an expression of the love of God and the need to be saved. They believed it. Did you not read in your Bible, according to Peter's gospel, and Matthew also testified on that, that he went to Hades and he preached the gospel to saints that were departed. Are we together now? We're not doing soteriology, so we'll leave that one. We're discussing healing to the nations. But sometimes when I just sense, you know, the way you minister, and let me explain something to you. Sometimes you can, once you sense doubt and confusion in people's heart, it's like a spiritual feedback. So sometimes I bring up these things just to bring clarity so that we do not allow ourselves to be confused. If you're understanding me so far, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So when man goes outside of the presence of God and without the life of God, that is spiritual death. And the way you heal the spirit of the man is to bring that reconnection. The Bible says, he that does not have his spirit is none of his. There has to be a connection. Jesus said, I am the vine. John 15 and verse 1. Give it to us, please. I'm explaining to you the healing. So he likens a man to a tree and he says, I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. Verse 2, he says, every branch in me, that's you now. Are we together now? Now jump to verse 4 and 5. I want to show you something. It says, abide in me. Are you seeing it now? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, even though it's speaking as about fruitfulness, but the idea is that until the spirit of man is connected to the spirit of God, you are not alive spiritually. And the only way that reconnection can happen is by hearing the gospel, are we together, and accepting the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. Now, an unbeliever can benefit from spiritual things. An unbeliever can be healed bodily. An unbeliever can receive counseling. We're coming there. But an unbeliever cannot be saved by impartation. The spirit of man can only be healed when the power of the gospel penetrates you and brings you back from death to life. You believe that? Say amen. It doesn't matter how alive and how healthy a man is. If that man is not in Christ, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says he's a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come again. In fact, Jesus was explaining this to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to him by night and says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Now, Jesus began to talk about the concept of a rebirth. Except a man be born again, that man cannot see the kingdom. Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, that man cannot enter. He began to talk of an experience with the spirit. So the healing of the spirit of man is salvation. Are we together? The healing of the spirit of man is salvation. Number two, the second way the spirit of man experiences healing is by the strengthening of the spirit. There is what we call being strong in the Lord. The strengthening of the spirit of man. The Holy Ghost can do a work in the spirit of a believer, because there are times that the spirit of a believer can be weak. That's what translates into many things that happen solically and physically, that there is weakness in your spirit. And so God can increase might. The Bible talks about being strengthened with might in your spirit. Is someone learning now? Being strengthened with might in your spirit. You can be strengthened with might. That's Ephesians chapter 3. That's right. It says that he would grant you, verse 16, write that down, Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. By now you know what that scripture is talking about. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man is one word for your spirit. The Bible interchanges the word spirit, inner man, heart. All of that also refer to your spirit. Strengthened with might. There are times that you can be born again, you are saved, but things just happen around your spirit and your spirit man is weak. It says, to them who have no might, he increaseth strength. God can strengthen your spirit and your spirit can become alive, robust, vibrant. How many of you know that when your spirit man is weak, it will affect every area of your life? Has something happened to you? Look up, let me explain this to you. Have you gotten up one morning worried, concerned, with a heaviness in your spirit, and yet your mind cannot pinpoint exactly anything that is wrong? You are not aware of anything that is wrong, but you just know that it's like there is a loss of joy. There's a loss of connection. It's because the spirit man is picking something and is communicating something, but your mind is unfruitful to it. This is the advantage of praying in the spirit. You can only respond to that situation when you are conscious of what is going on. But there are interactions happening in the realm of the spirit. And because you are a spirit essentially, your spirit man has picked the signal. It can also be something that is about to happen that you are not aware of. In 2 weeks, someone is about to die, but your spirit man has picked it now. Because the spirit of every man is prophetic. Prophetic. You see that now. And there is gloominess in your spirit. If you are not trained to know how to respond to those impulses, you can keep watching everything until it manifests. You now say, I felt this thing. I something in my spirit. You see that now? So there are times the spirit of man can be weak. Please listen, everybody. At such times, you need strength. And there are many strategies to impart strength. One of it is praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost is a strategy God designed to infuse and impart strength to the spirit of man. The healing of the spirit. Now, number two, let's go to the healing of the soul or the healing of the mind. This one, I'll tell you this. When we started ministry, our focus was largely spirit and body. Anything that has to do with a man's psyche, a man's psychology, mind, will, emotions, we cared less about it. We just felt that, look, anybody who says I'm hurt emotionally, that's your business. You are not the only one. If you are healed, if you are sick bodily, we can pray for you. If you are not saved, we can pray for you. But if you say you have been hurt emotionally, now look up, please. Let me tell you this. The longer you live on earth, you will understand the power of emotional wounds and emotional sicknesses. The realm of the soul, there is an entire business around your soulical faculties, and they can be so wounded that if God does not help you and show you mercy, as spiritual as you are, you can die. Are we together? Give us that scripture that says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. But it says a broken spirit dryeth the bones. The word broken spirit there, the word spirit and soul were interchanged many times in scripture. It says, but the sorrow of the heart, a merry heart maketh cheerful countenance. Beautiful, that's it there. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit. You know what that means? He's not just talking about spirit. They are interchanged, spirit and soul. But the idea here is a man who's been broken psychologically. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the healing of the soul is psychological healing. You may want to write that. The healing of the spirit is salvation and strengthening. But the healing of the soul is psychological healing. The psychological state of a man can be broken, and there are various reasons for that. I'll hopefully list a few of them for you. Number one, the first factor that breaks the soul of a man are disappointed expectations. Write that down. Disappointed expectations. It brings brokenness to the soul of a man. When your goals, when your expectations are disappointed. Number two, rejection. Everything that has to do with being given an idea that you do not belong or you do not qualify, it breaks the spirit of a man. Number three, betrayal or loss of trust. These are some of the things, I'm listing a few for you. Please write them down. Tonight we're exploring the healing ministry. One, disappointed expectations. You have that down? What's number two? Rejection is the worst thing that can happen to any man from a psychological standpoint. It's the reason why people crave to join groups, crave to join occultic societies, because they fear rejection, especially our world today. Number three. What's number three? Is someone learning now? These things can hurt your spirit and hurt your soul more than most people know. There are many anointed people today. Watch this. There are many anointed pastors, many wealthy people. They don't know why all the things around their life has failed to bring them healing. So people try to get more money and think that with more money, it will bring that healing. But because it's not a bodily healing, you see that now? Now, to the one that is not born again, no amount of counseling and therapy can help that person. Because what is really wrong is not a broken soul. What happens is a disconnection from the life of God. No matter how you counsel that man, whether it's maritally, whether it's whatever it is, that person needs salvation. The person does not need therapy. Therapy may come later on, but there's no amount of therapy that can equal salvation. What that person needs is Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus. And you find out there is a joy, there is a peace that is beyond understanding. Because we are counseling many people who need salvation. That's why the healing is not working. We try and count, say, don't worry, life is going to work out fine. And the person comes back and says, things are not changing. My brother, what you need, if it's the healing of your spirit, what you need is Jesus. When you are saved, what you need is strengthening to the weary spirit. But psychological healing, our world today is filled with, you know, they say the average person who is at least 20 years, the average person, who is at least 20 years, is more in need of psychological and emotional healing than they are aware of. Because of the wickedness that is in our world, either from your past, abuses, stories, poor foundation family-wise, all the things that happen to you, and by the time a young man gets to age 20, there is a backlog of pain, a backlog of issues. Are you seeing what translates into marital problems? Because two people are getting married now, they are looking at their faces. And because the faces are all right, they don't know that sometimes two sick people are the ones saying, I do. Unfortunately, the person who is joining them is not a medical doctor. May not, the pastor say, oh, you do? Are you doing it? He cannot even wait for them to finish. Yes, I do. The lady now says, yes, I do. Say, okay, two of you be on your way. And everybody now arrives. Then everybody opens their bag. Brings out from their bag of 10 years, 50 years, and the other one says, you think you are the only one? I have my own too. They now bring out their bag, and all of them begin to surprise themselves there. Are we together? And let me tell you this. If you don't pay the price to walk with God to be healed emotionally, you will spend your life wounding people, whether you are good or bad. It's the natural consequence of a broken spirit. There are people who are just angry. They are born again, but they don't know why they are angry. Once they hear good news, it pains them. They are not bad people, honestly. If you sit with them, you find out they are not bad people. They just need healing. There are people like that. There are others, they've lost touch with life completely. They believe in God, but they don't believe in victory. They've been so bruised and broken. Do you know why? Because their expectations have been so disappointed. They trusted God for the father to not die. He died. They trusted God for the mother to not die. You see that now? A gentleman was coming and they were hoping it to end up in marriage. Their lives are full of such pain. So when they hear people singing about the faithfulness of God, you see them in church laughing. But where you know there is a wound is, touch any matter that comes close to that life, they will close it immediately and sometimes fight you. How you know you are healed is that there's no discussion around your life that creates a painful memory again. You are healed. Are we together? If we call the name of your mother or the name of your father or the name of your boss and it still creates a reaction, you are not yet healed. You are just hiding your wound. And let me tell you, hiding your wound, ask medical doctors. You know what happens when you hide wounds and don't open it up to be treated? Is someone learning now? The Lord gave me a mandate to bring healing to the nations tonight. Hallelujah. When you don't allow the word of God heal you, when you don't allow, you've gone through rejections from everybody, there's something we call, it's a psychological term, I hope I get it right, it's called paranoia. It's a state where, I hope I'm right on that description, where you become excessively presumptuous. You see someone laughing, you believe they are laughing at you. And the person said, what is all this one? I'm laughing because I'm trusting God for my rent. And you are believing that I'm looking at you and laughing. You see that now? There are people who have that mentality. To the point that if you tell them something good and say, wow, you are looking beautiful today, they say, insult me. I know. Insult me. You are not the first to tell me. I get the message. What message? You see that now? Now, while we are laughing, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Because our world is getting damaged because of a backlog of psychological, emotional pain. There's need for healing. There's need for healing. And let me tell you, the power of God does not just stop at the healing of the spirit. It can come to the healing of the soul. For someone, today, this night, you have finally found your healing. Let me tell you proofs that you are not healed. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. I don't care what kind of tongues you pray. Aggression. Hatred. Anger. You see that now? Sometimes you see people boil. They boil. You have to use drugs to calm them down. Because you simply made one statement. Oh, how is that your uncle? Why are you talking to me about that, my uncle? I remember that man 17 years ago. You see? Believe me, God, there's a divine therapy from this scripture. Tonight, someone is going to find healing. You will walk out of these old wounds and know finally I am free. With all due respect, maybe it was your past marriage. Maybe something happened to you. Are we together? Maybe it was a relationship before. Maybe whatever it is. I just want you to know that healing is possible. And if you cannot receive healing from God, you carry that pain as a man of God. The pain will slip through your sermons. People will hear you speak and they will know that this is not just the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost plus a sick man solically. The same thing in business. This is a successful CEO plus a sick man solically. This is a responsible father or attempting to be a responsible father, but a sick man solically. There are many sick people, many sick men, many sick women. They look healthy, but they are sick. They are dying, and it can affect them medically. Right now, doctors sometimes even get confused because they know this man is emaciating. He's in pain, always depressed, saying things that, you know, and you are wondering what exactly is wrong with this person. The machines show that you are healthy bodily. It's a broken spirit. Every time you see people who look like those who cause you trouble, you just transfer the hatred. You look like my uncle. You will not get the job. What is the person's business with what your uncle did? Place your hand on your chest. Say, I receive healing. I receive. Say it again, I receive healing. I receive. Don't mind your story. Say, I receive healing. I receive. Now, let me tell you this. Please look up. You don't have all your lifetime to be healing slowly. If you don't heal fast and maximize your life, you will live your life in pity, wanting to draw the pity of everybody. There is grace for you to be healed. Now, listen, I don't downplay what you have gone through. Aside from the healing of the spirit, because let me tell you, this work of ministry is like medicine. My ears have had all kinds of things. And sometimes when you are counseling people and you hear their stories and what they have come out from, you almost, it's a miracle that they are alive. So I'm not downplaying the healing process, but I'm telling you the power of God can set you free. This is the point. That's the advantage of the healing ministry. The Bible says Jesus healed all manner of sicknesses. Look up, please. Was the woman at the well sick? Talk to me, John 4. Ah, my God, I hope we're able to. We're supposed to go to John 4, but let me leave it first. The woman at the well, was her problem bodily sickness? No. She was damaged emotionally. Jesus was asking her that question to heal her. He said, go and call your husband. He touched the nerve of her problem. And she said, I do not have a husband. That was the beginning of her healing. Another woman would have turned to say, now that you have said this, let me insult you too, since you are shameless. What is your business with my family life? You came to beg for water. No. When you turn your pain to power, you are healed. You are healed. Is someone learning? So Jesus looks at her and says, woman, where is your husband? And she honestly said, I have no husband. He said, go and call your husband. He said, I do not have a husband. And Jesus said, you have told the truth. For you have five husbands. That means five painful experiences. And the one you currently are with now is not even your husband. He said, you said truly, you are honest. At the end of it, when he impacted that woman, she left her fetcher and left everything and went to call everyone, maybe including the past husband. He said, don't worry, come and see a man. I've gotten something that is nobler and better than the pain you caused me. Come, see a man. Come see a man. That means all men are not the same. Come see a man. I've met five men. I met six men. But come and see a man. Come on, man. You should buy me lunch tomorrow. Come see a man. Come see a man. Every time ladies say, they're all the same. Say, come see a man. Hallelujah. Women, I'll find your own scripture later on. I'm sure there's one for you. Are we together? Let me give you your own. Many daughters have done well, but thou excellest them all. Many daughters have done well. Even if many daughters have done bad, thou excellest them all. In fact, let me give you two. Blessed are you among women. So you have your own now. I hope it works for you. Praise God. But is someone learning? The average person who has grown in Africa went through experiences, good or bad, that has brought so much injury to your psyche. Injury, a broken spirit. Either because of poor parental background for some, or some were raised by single moms, angry with their fathers. Please, everybody listen. Or for some, your environment. There are many things today that have happened to some of us. Some of us were wrongly exposed at a young age because of the carelessness of parents. Are we together? You had to go and fend for yourself, and it began nasty stories around your life. And you may think because you have grown, you are automatically healed. Others had to start walking themselves with their own hands. No father, no mother. You started doing whatever it is. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to walk in victory, are we together now? You have to allow the power of the cross, the power of Jesus Christ, to bring you healing. Have you read about a young man in the Bible called Joseph? Please, everybody, look. I'm teaching now. The Bible talks about a man called Joseph, a young boy. And that one day the father sent him to take food to his brothers. But until that time, the father loved him. I've shared that story many times here. The father loved him, number one, because of his dreams. Number two, the father loved him because he gave him, you know, a coat of many colors. And the brothers hated him. And one time when they saw Joseph coming, watch this. What did the boy do? Nothing. It was just the love of his father. Three reasons why men will hate you. One, because of the extent of the love of your father. In this case, God. God can love you in a way that can make people hate you. Are you the only one God is loving? Number two, the brothers hated him because of the dream. He had dreams. Unfortunately for him, he didn't know how to keep quiet. I've taught you. It is not everything. The difference between Joseph and Mary is that one kept quiet. If Mary had said, "This baby is of the Holy Ghost," they would have killed her there and said, "Don't make a fool out of us." Mary kept these things to herself. But Joseph said everything. He will wake up and say, "Brothers, just to let you know, you will bow before me tomorrow." And the brothers say, "We'll kill you." And then number three, men hated him, his brothers, because he had a coat of many colors. When you are multi-gifted, multi-talented, singing, you are there. Prophetic, you are there. Good looks, you are there. Character, you are there. When you wear the coat of many colors, you will attract hatred. Are we together now? They saw Joseph coming and they said, "Behold the dreamer. The dreamer is coming. Let us throw him into the pit." Now, ladies and gentlemen, imagine that you are Joseph and they pick you up and throw you into that pit. And you are wondering, "God of heaven, you who gave me the dream, you who made my father love me, you who did all of that, where are you that I'm in the pit?" The first person I believe Joseph should be angry with is not even his brothers, is God. "I woke up this morning and the all-seeing God knew that by evening I would be in a pit and he left me." What happens when your righteousness does not pay off? When it is goodness that puts you in trouble? If you are receiving the rewards of evil, listen, if you are receiving the rewards of evil, that one will be fine. But what happens when your integrity and godliness is the reason why you get into trouble? The first person to be offended in is God. Disappointed expectations. I believe he was praying, "God, have mercy. Let me just come out and go." Not knowing for the remaining part of his life, he will never go back home again. I want you to understand the extent of trauma. As much as he became king, he did not know that that morning he casually left home. That was the last time in his life. It's true he met his father, but not at home again. He didn't pack his clothes. He didn't do anything. He just left. The prodigal son left willingly. But this one left to go and feed his brothers. Not knowing that the last time he turned back to look at home was the last time he ever saw it. There are things that can happen to a man and you can be so wounded. So wounded. Somebody left home happily, and while he was singing a song of praise, as he was crossing the junction, a car hit him. And from that time, the leg broke and was amputated, and he would live like that for the rest of his life. This is how emotional wounds are formed. So every time they are saying God is good, that person just sits quietly in the church while other people are dancing. "Since I was young, now I am this. I've never seen the righteous." And he said, "What do you call me? An unbeliever?" "It was while I was singing choruses that the car hit my leg." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you the truth. Emotional wounds are real. Psychological wounds are real. You can build a six-pack and cover it, but it's still there. You can use your makeup and cover it, but it's still there. And if you do not trust God to experience victory, you will find yourself replicating your pain in others. Have you seen people who get angry when other people make it easily? They say, "During our time, it was not like that." Must it be like during your time? Are you seeing that now? At 25, you already have a house? You already have a car? No. I built my first house at 39. So what? Did you receive the impartation I received? Did you fast the way I fasted? Did you submit to mentorship like I did? And even if you did, what then is the advantage of being before me? Is that you shorten the distance for me too. Is someone learning now? The world is full of wounded preachers. The world is full of wounded parents. The world is full of wounded businessmen. The world is full of wounded politicians. The world is full of wounded people in need of healing. Wounded children. Wounded siblings. Please listen very carefully. There are some wounds that success cannot heal. There are some wounds that the amount in your bank account cannot heal. There are some wounds that your certificate cannot heal. There are some wounds that marriage cannot heal. There are some wounds that the arrival of children or results cannot heal. There are some wounds that a visa cannot heal. You will need the healing ministry to bring life to you. And I'm going to show you three keys to being free from psychological or emotional wounds. Because some wounds were as a result of the behavior of men, but some wounds were as a result of losses, including the loss of a loved one. Now, that one is a serious one because the person cannot come back again. It's gone. Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles on what it feels today. I'm ministering to you. And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray. But I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will see. I will praise, even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing, and I will praise. There's a part I like. I lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true, I will sing. Healing is already flowing in this place tonight. Listen. Lord, it's hard for me to see all the thoughts and plans you have for me. But I will put my trust in you, knowing that you died to set me free. Oh. But I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will see and I will praise, even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will see. And I will praise. I lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true, I will sing. Don't forget what we're discussing. There are many things that bring the wound of the soul. Disappointed expectations. Rejections. Betrayals. Delays. There are a number of them. These are the things that wound the soul of man. And you find people standing, but they are angry. Are you not surprised how angry our world is? Young people are angry. Old people are angry. Rich people are angry. Poor people are angry. You just walk to the street, stand there in the morning and watch everybody as they go where they go. You find people just frowning. We hate government, good and bad. We hate good people. We hate Jesus. We hate Satan. We hate those who love him. We hate those who hate him. And those who walk in this hatred, the classic proof of a wounded spirit is hatred or rage and discouragement. Once you see those two things, you are sad about life. No hope, no vigor, no vitality. Even when you smile, people know it's a face you are just putting for the sake of your reputation. Tonight, Jesus is bringing you healing. Healing. Apostle, you don't know my situation. I was raped when I was a child. I understand. I will never downplay your pain, but it's time to be healed. Apostle, you don't know what happened. I was born. My father is still alive, but I've not seen him since I was born. I had to fend my way. I did all kinds of things to pay my school fees. I understand. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a balm in Gilead. And tonight, the Holy Ghost is going to be moving from row to row. I'm telling you, God gave me an assignment to bring healing to the nations. There's a healing of the spirit, salvation, and strengthening. But there is the healing of the soul. This one has damaged many people's destinies. If you look for an excuse to remain in that state of emotional death, you will always find it. Apostle, but those who wounded me, they've not changed. They will not change. You are the one who changes for the better, for the sake of your own destiny. Waiting, God forbid, for your ex-husband or ex-wife or ex-somebody to come and apologize to you so that you feel comforted is a waste of time. No, sir. It's like swallowing poison and waiting for another person to die. Who dies? The one who swallowed it. Apostle, I had an extra year because of a wicked lecturer. Oh, may God punish him. I understand. But there is a reason to be happy. There is a reason to be joyful. Let me tell you the truth. The mess that goes around psychologically from the pulpit to our workplace, you find 5 staff members and all of them are wounded in their own regard. There are husbands and wives today, no amount of counseling seems to solve the problem. They will take isolated cases. The other day you served me and you did not bring pepper. I can tell you it's not a pepper issue, it's a lie. Pepper issue is just the scapegoat for that moment. The real problem is that that man has been wounded from the office. He's been rejected. He felt he made the most of his efforts and it did not work. And if that man is not healed, even if he's supposedly a good man, he will carry his pain and land it on that innocent woman. And she's wondering, is it that I cannot please you? I'm telling you, husband, if you are like that, listen to me. I'm diagnosing your situation. You are not a bad person. You are just a sick person. And sometimes you can be so sick, you need an ICU. Leave the amount in your account. There are sick people. What makes people to try to dehumanize themselves to look like others? It's because they are wounded. Somebody sagged his jeans to this place. You too, you brought your own to this place. What are you really looking for? A sense of belonging. That's the truth. Are we together? Someone joined an occultic group and they were calling him man. It's a description of masculinity. You too, you are about to join. What are you really looking for? Remember, let me do a quick recap. There are the 6 psychological needs of every man. Koinonia, do we still remember? Let me recap it for those viewing. Number 1 is the need for security. All men crave desperately for security. We have built businesses around security. You came to church today, but you locked your car. Even now that you are in the house of God, your bag is still locked. It's before you, but you locked it. Security. One day during a pastor's conference somewhere, they told the men to turn to their wives and say, I love you. And some of them turned and said, well, what is all this nonsense again? Don't turn us into children. I told her already on the day I married her. Have I changed? You see, that state you see is because you believe that being vulnerable is weakness. It's an engineering that came from somewhere. Your definition of masculinity has been aberrated by your pain. Is somebody learning? Some said it joyfully. Others turned and said, you know, the wife did not even turn to even look at the husband because she already knows the trouble. Let's just maintain the fragile peace that is already forming in this home. Number two, variety. All men seek variety. That's why breaking new sells. Anything that is new sells because men seek variety. Number three, men. And when I talk of men, I mean all genders. But for number three, particularly the masculine gender, significance. Significance. Men, talk to me. Significance. As I mentioned it, some of you are smiling. Significance. Ladies and gentlemen, we have in our midst a great man of God traveling around the nations. Let's stand up and give it up for Apostle Joshua. And you find the men squaring up and happy. Verses, we have somebody here. We just got the name. Is it Selman or Suleiman or somebody? And you are wondering, me? A man of God like me? Are you seeing that now? Significance. People have developed enemies and headache because of this. Significance. You didn't call me by my titles and whatever it is. Number four, love and acceptance. Ladies, everybody but ladies, daughters of Zion. Let me just say Zion. Let me not call any name. Hallelujah. Love and acceptance. Your father never told you he loved you. Your mother perhaps did not say it. The first person who ever said he loved you was a foolish boy. And even though, not to insult the person, even though you did not like the person, but you could not deny the effect of what he said. And that's why you find very glorious church girls following all kinds of people and you are wondering, why are you wasting my sermon? Why are you wasting? Somebody will preach and shout and they'll still get up and go and do what you said they should not do. Say amen.
Amen.
Love and acceptance. Let me tell you this. I can tell you for free. Rejection is one of the worst things that can happen to a man. Let it not be through you that you sell the idea of rejection. You know what it means to reject people? To make them look like they do not qualify to meet a certain class. You must learn to treat people with honor and courtesy. The average person you meet is still trying to heal. And you may not see the bandage because it is emotional. Don't hit the wound and tear them down. Don't rejoice when you cause pain for others and you go to bed rejoicing. There are very wicked people in our world. Very, very wicked. Don't cause pain for people and rejoice and go to bed knowing that somebody is crying because you are alive. Hallelujah. You just got up and decided to take the job away from the person simply because you hate the person. And the woman has 5 children and the man has 5 children. The reality of our world, love and acceptance. Number five, the fifth psychological need of every man is the need for growth. Growth is the reason why you celebrate birthdays, anniversaries. They represent milestones, significant milestones. Growth. And then number six, the sixth and final psychological need of any man is impact and contribution. Impact and contribution. To the degree to which you give people a perception or a recognition of their impacting their world, they feel good, they feel happy. If you're following me so far, say amen. The healing of the soul. The healing of emotions. Our world is full of people who are wounded. Wounded preachers. Wounded parents. Wounded children. And can I tell you the truth? I hope you know you can transfer wounds. It is an amazing thing that emotional wounds can be transferred. Together with the battles that came with them. Grandfather can have a wound. Create a battle from that wound. transfer that wound and the battle to the son. The son transfers it to the grandson. This is both spiritually and otherwise. There are people inheriting wounds, inheriting battles they know nothing about. But here is a generation that is ready to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. That if pain, if you came out of pain, let pain not come out of you. If you came out of tears, let tears not come out of you. If you came out of hatred, let hatred not come out of you. If you came out of rejection, let rejection not come out of you. If you came out of wickedness, let wickedness not come out of you. Hallelujah. And let me tell you this. God is looking for those who become the bridge. You know how we say it in this house, that it ends with me. And I'm praying that somebody will make that decision and say, this hatred around my life, around my family, this hatred among pastors, this all of these emotional things, it ends with me. There is a name God called a believer and tied a blessing to it. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. There are people called peacemakers. There are also troublemakers. The Bible does not call them troublemakers. It calls them wicked and unreasonable men. Is someone learning? Three steps. There are many more, but just by way of summary, three steps to emotional healing. Number one, call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord over that situation that is causing the pain, that is causing the hurt. Healing at an emotional realm, I'm telling you, is beyond the scope of any man. Now, don't get me wrong. Thank God for therapists. Thank God for psychologists. Thank God for seasoned men and women in the medical field. But I am telling you, there's a depth of a man's soul that only the power of God can get there. The word of God is quick. It can divide and separate between the soul and the spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Call upon the Lord. Call upon him like blind Bartimaeus. Call upon him like the woman with the issue of blood. Call upon him like Joseph. Call upon him. When you are in pain, is to call upon him. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon him for help. Call upon him for help. Number two, locate scriptures. Locate scriptures that speak victory to your destiny concerning those matters. The matters that create the hurt. Locate scriptures that speak victory to your soul. It will always be by his word. Locate scriptures that speak victory to your soul concerning the matters of hurt. If it's disappointment, there is a scripture that speaks victory. If it's shame, if it's reproach, are we together? If it's rejection, if it's delay, if it's disappointed expectation, locate scripture. When you call upon the Lord in prayer, crying out your heart, Lord, I don't want to live like this. Locate scriptures. Number three, seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel from matured believers who have, look at me, let me say this before you write. Seek godly counsel from matured believers. And there are two conditions a matured believer must have before you open up your pain. Number one, spiritual maturity. Number two, emotional intelligence. Do not open up your pain to anybody who does not have these two. You will end up complicating yourself. There are many people who are matured spiritually, but they are not matured emotionally. They can pray for you. Oh, I see you fought with your husband. You've been fighting all through 2025. Ah, you people look this peaceful. All right, let's pray. Father, restore peace to this family. As soon as you are opening that door, they dial someone's number. Hey, I have gist. I told you not everything that glitters is gold. That person does not have, is not spiritual immaturity. Is that they do not have. And one of the ways to build emotional intelligence is by receiving the gift of pain. I know you will not like what I'm saying. Don't worry. We'll leave that for another discussion. A man that is too innocent, you've not gone through any kind of pain, you cannot be a healer. You need to be touched with the feelings of people's infirmity. Then you can understand. I was teaching the workers yesterday on emotional intelligence. And one of the elements of emotional intelligence is empathy. Empathy. If you do not have empathy, you will not be able to bring healing to people. There are times when people are crying, don't be in a hurry to stop them. If you know what they are crying about, allow them cry. That tears alone is a miracle. It's a healing process. Is someone learning? Seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. Let me add number four for you. Find a cause that is bigger than your pain and invest your life in it. Find a cause that is bigger than your pain and invest your life in it. Find a cause. It can be helping people. Find a cause. It can be doing your assignment. You must find a cause. For as long as your pain is the biggest thing in your life, you can't grow past it. You must find a cause that is bigger than your pain, and then you invest your life in it. So for instance, you came from a family where there was no sufficient responsibility. Now you can create an NGO and start helping other people. That someone goes to school because of you. When you look at them, their victory finishes the process of healing for you. Let me tell you something about healing. Healing is complete when you can stop someone from going through the pain you went through. It's true. It's true. You were in ignorance, and ignorance punished you for a long time. You create a system that now brings healing to others. Can I tell you this? Calling the world to come and sympathize with your pain does not bring healing. Turning your pain to power, turning your pain to purpose, looking for a cause that is bigger than your pain is how healing truly comes. Our world is full of lamentations. People started crying and tell the world, look, my father was an irresponsible man. We appreciate that fact. You were sincere, but we are tired of hearing it. Because many who are making an impact today did not even have fathers. At least you had a father. So grow past that story. Stop telling us old stories. Find a cause that is bigger than your pain and finish the process of your healing. For someone, you can say, because my father delayed me, my mother delayed me, nobody could go to school. And because of that, I was not able to go to school. I had to learn work. It wasted 12, 13 years of my life. Because of that, now that God has lifted me, I will create a scholarship scheme to help young people who are deserving. Now, that's the process of healing. By the time you line up 100 children who finish school on time and are loving the Lord, that is what finishes your healing process. Let me tell you the truth. Healing process never finishes till you become a giver, till you become a blessing. If that giving part is not revealed in you, a part of your healing will never be complete. Who is learning? The world is full of many sick people, many wounded people. I can tell you this, I have found fulfillment beyond imagination preaching. Do you know, sometimes, now, during COVID, it was said that many men of God plunged into depression within those 3 months. Do you know why? Because unknown to many, that act of preaching was beyond ministry. It was healing for the men of God too. That regardless their backgrounds, they were now finding something to do. The workers in church, in many denominations, plunged into depression. Because for many of them, their lives were full of sad stories. And their only place of joy and hope was church. So you know that, okay, on Wednesday, there's prayer meeting. You have a roster. It distracts you away from focusing on your pain. Now COVID came, and for 3 months, people were now reminded of their former selves. They now found out that they were not truly healed. Tonight there are prayers we are going to pray. Someone needs to tear off that garment once and for all, because the apostle in you cannot arise if you are not healed, even though you are saved. The prophet in you, the Deborah in you, the Esther in you cannot arise. Joseph, imagine that you become a prime minister with hatred in your heart. It is a dangerous thing for a man to be lifted when he's not healed. Now you are at a vantage position. You will not use your office for purpose. You will use it for revenge. There are people today, they will be patient, even if it's for 30 years, for God to lift them so they can revenge. No, that's an unnecessary battle. Let's learn from Joseph. When he brought his brothers and they finally bowed down, he said, go and bring my father. And they brought him. He said, no, we did not steal your cup. He said, no, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Kai, I like this one. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Can I tell you, some of you, it's because of your pain, you started respecting God. The pride you grew up with, by now you would have still been an unbeliever. But God stepped back a little and allowed life to do you what it did. It brought you to your knees. When you had koinonia, you ran with both leg and foot to come here for deliverance. There are many people drinking today who don't like drinking. They are just drinking because they are trying to fight rejection. There are many people posting nonsense on social media. They feel depressed after they post it, but it's like a dopamine feeling they get. They have to do it to feel relevant. Are we together? There are pastors today organizing programs beyond their capacity because of the pressure to show that they are great. All of these are symptoms of not being healed. There are fathers today turning their homes into dungeons of lions because they have to prove their masculinity. There are women today, the same situation. Their lives are full of anger. They are giving their daughters wrong counsel because of their pain. You see what your father did to me? Don't let any man, and sometimes they sell hatred. And a young lady of 21 years, 22 years, already has what she plans to do to the man that comes to her. He has not come yet, but she has already planned what to do. Because the mother sold her pain. So every generation transfer pain. The fathers now tell the mothers they don't like them. The mothers advise the daughters. The daughters punish their husbands. The husbands advise the sons. The sons now marry to. You see how pain keeps transferring. There needs to be a generation that must be healed. If not, let me tell you, the children you see today, as much as you love them, your pain will wrap them like a cloth. And you will find out that those children become a disaster to you and to society. The anger and the hatred in our world is too much. Too much. If we can measure it in temperature, maybe it's more than maybe 5,000 degrees centigrade. The anger. You just see people angry. Angry. Oh, two people are getting married. So what? So person got born again. Let him go to hell now. This is our world. Sir, I just want to thank you. No, don't thank me. Go away. Our world is full of angry people. And I'm telling you, it is that solical wound. And in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for you. And praying for the nations across the globe. This is your season of healing. In the name of Jesus, I say to you again, this is your season of healing. Where homes will be healed. Where children will be healed. Where parents will be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Where career people will be healed. Where unnecessary battles will come to an end. In the name of Jesus Christ. Question, look at me. Have you ever wondered why Herod wanted to kill Jesus? Herod was almost Jesus' grandfather, historically. By the time Jesus would grow to start his ministry, Herod would have died. So why did he want to kill the baby? In what way was Jesus a threat to him? That's what happens when you are not healed. You will fight foolish battles that don't make sense. Saul was king. He was the one who gave David the permission to kill Goliath. And yet, he took a javelin and wanted to pin David. There are needless battles in our world. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm speaking to every father. I'm speaking to every mother. I'm speaking to every leader. You need to go back and have a retreat and cry to the Lord. I'm tired of fighting people as a reflection of the way I do not like my life. I can love people. I can live a peaceful life. I need to be healed. The healing ministry. Sir, you think the problem is your wife, but I tell you sincerely, in many regards, it is not your wife. It is you. It's a battle you refuse to win. And you are now blaming it because she's the obvious scapegoat in your house. Ma, you think the problem is your husband. You keep blaming the husband. But the truth is that upon brutal examination, you will find out that that problem is not your husband. It is you. Change 20 men. You will still have the same outcome because the problem is you. Are we together? CEO, the problem is not your subordinates. They have given you all the respect you are looking for, yet you are not satisfied. Look at me. I think it was during Kenny's wedding. I preached a message. I don't talk so much about marriage issues, but let me tell you this. I said something in that sermon that I want to repeat here. Marriage was not designed to solve every emotional problem. I can tell you that by the authority of Scripture. Marriage was not designed to solve every emotional problem. There is a level of fulfillment that comes from your relationship with Jesus. There is a level of fulfillment that comes from your relationship with purpose. There is a level of fulfillment that comes by having good friends. There is a level of fulfillment that comes by having a good spouse. Are we together now? The fulfillment your spouse gives you is not everything. And if you don't know Jesus, you've not discovered purpose, you don't have good friends, you will keep blaming your spouse because you think the love they are bringing is not enough. And you are right. There's a dimension you should get from only Jesus. There's a dimension you should get from purpose. There's a dimension you should get from being a giver. There's a dimension you should get from maximizing your giftings. And if you fail in those areas, you will blame marriage for it. That's the reason why no matter the counseling, it does not solve it. Are we together? You are not always coming home. All right, COVID kept the woman for 3 months. You say, please go out of this house. I'm even tired of you. You see that? It's not whether the person goes out or comes back. Is that you are not healed. God is helping somebody tonight. Call upon the name of the Lord. Find scriptures. Find scriptures in the name of Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I refuse anger. I saw an angry father. I saw an angry mother. I love them. But now that I'm a child of God, I decree and declare, someone learning, I will not be an angry father to my children. I make up my mind as an act of my will. The Bible says life and death is in the power of my tongue. I choose that my children will not run away from me. I choose that. Are we together now? Make up your mind. Decree and declare. My children will not go to look for help from another person when I'm alive. In the name of Jesus, the grace to be diligent is released upon me. I was born from an irresponsible family, for instance. In the name of Jesus, I will be a diligent man. The grace to love my wife, the grace to love my children, I receive in Jesus' name. You are not going to be healed until you locate scriptures and walk the scriptures. Walk the scriptures, sir. Walk the scriptures. Is someone learning now? Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to walk the scriptures. Say it again. I receive grace to walk the scriptures. One last time. I receive grace to walk the scriptures. And you see the power of God as you are making those confessions. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, I will not be an irresponsible man. In the name of Jesus, I will not be a wicked CEO. In the name of Jesus, I will not be a gossiping subordinate. I make up my mind that through my life, I will not cause pain to people intentionally. I am a blessing. The Bible says that Genesis 12:3, I decree and declare, the life of gossiping, backbiting is far from me. I am a blessing. If ever I talk about people, it will be good news. If I have reservations, I will pray for them and leave them from afar. I choose my template of living. This is how to transit. This is how healing happens. Is someone learning? I choose the good of all men. The good of all men. If I cannot be close to them, I will be a well-wisher from far. Let me tell you this. While you are walking it, it comes from the word, and I was teaching the leaders yesterday, is the Greek word logizomai. The word logizomai means to reckon. It's warfare. To reckon means to accept it as true. The Bible says, reckon yourselves as dead to sin. You can reckon yourself dead to failure. You can reckon yourself dead to pain. You can reckon yourself dead to a low-level living. Logizomai. In the name of Jesus, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I have no business. There's no accommodation for hatred. Someone said, say in Jesus' name, I reject hate. Say in the name of Jesus, I'm a child of God. I am born of God. I am born of the Word. I am born of the Spirit. I am born of love. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. I reject hate. Victory over my past. Victory over yesterday. Victory over failure. Victory over limitations. Victory over rejection. In the name of Jesus Christ, it has no power over me. You are still praying. Say, yesterday, you have no power over me. Say, pain, you have no power over me. Say, weakness, you have no power over me. Say, rejection, you have no power over me. Say, competitive jealousy, you have no power over me. I am a child of God. I am born from above. In the name of Jesus Christ, I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up. He is exalted. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe upon my life. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe upon my life.
Open your mouth in 1 minute and begin to declare. Freedom from hurts, freedom from pains, freedom from disappointments, freedom from betrayals, regardless what the story was, in the name of Jesus, I cannot punish my future because of my past. I cannot punish tomorrow because of yesterday. What was done or not done to you, what was said or not said about you, don't punish your tomorrow. Your tomorrow is innocent. Give it a chance to reveal the glory of God in your life. Open your mouth in 1 minute and pray. Business pain, family pain, friendship pains, marital pains, a broken spirit. The Lord is coming for you tonight with a balm, the balm in Gilead, bringing you healing, bringing you healing, bringing you healing, mending the wounds, strengthening your heart. You can love again. You can rejoice again. You can trust again. You can believe again. You can hope again. You can start again. You can push again. You can go again. 1 minute, you are praying. Shabrakata bakata belekata. He causes wars to cease. He causes wars to cease. Emotional battles to cease. In Jesus' name. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. I am strong. I have the grace to overcome every negative thing associated with my emotions. In the name of Jesus, I overcome anger. I overcome jealousy. I overcome pain. I overcome disappointment. Say, I'm victorious. I'm a child of God. Say, it's time to go forward. And I declare, the gates of my destiny open up for me. Let me go forward. Turn it into prayer in 1 minute. It's time to come out of that emotional prison, that psychological prison. The mercy of God is there. Victory is there. One minute, you are praying. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. Let me take the third dimension very quickly, the healing of the body. So there's the healing of the spirit, salvation, and then the strengthening, the energizing of your spirit man. There is the healing of the soul, the healing of your mind, the healing of your emotions, freedom, complete freedom from everything that throws you down, from all of these elements. You see that now? And there's the healing of the body. Let me talk about that very quickly. The healing of the body. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, please, quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. It said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Say amen. Now, when it has to do with the body, there are two dimensions to it. Number one, there is the corrective or curative dimension. And then there is the preventive dimension. Now, I'm not speaking as a medical doctor nor a medical expert. I'm speaking from the standpoint of scripture. But when it has to do with the body, there are two dimensions. There are the principles we engage that keep us free from sicknesses, bodily infirmities, diseases. And then there are principles we engage, spiritually speaking now, and medically speaking, and of course, emotionally speaking. When it has to do with the healing of the body, it's a tripartite combination of spiritual strategies. Are we together? Physical or medical strategies. And then psychological strategies. They work together to keep the body healthy. Number one, you must believe that it is God's will for you to be healed and to walk in health. Please write that down. You must believe the healing of the body now. You must believe that it is the will of God for you to be healed and to walk in healing, to walk in bodily vitality. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. Amplified says, have it to its fullest. You must believe. We read Psalm 103. And remember in Psalm 103, one of the five benefits that come, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He forgiveth your sins and he heals your diseases. Healing is one of the provisions that Jesus purchased for us. When he died, when he was buried, when he resurrected, the same grace and the same sacrifice that saved us from sin also purchased healing for our bodies. You must believe it is the will of God for you to be free from sicknesses and all kinds of bodily infirmities. Now, whilst you are saying this, you may have some conditions around and the devil will try to make you carnally minded. But you must believe. Remember the word I taught you, logizomai. You must reckon. Reckon. I am the healed of the Lord. I walk in healing and I walk in health. I walk in healing and I walk in health. Healing is corrective. It is curative. Health talks about maintaining, preventing you from even getting sick. You must believe that it is God's will for you to be healed and to walk in health. Number two, you must believe that Satan is directly behind most of the sicknesses and infirmities that plague your body. Please write that down. You must believe that Satan is behind most of the sicknesses and diseases that plague your body. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 16, the woman who was bent over, remember, Jesus made a profound statement. He said, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, should she not be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Satan is behind most of the sicknesses, most of the infirmities. Now, some can be of biological cause, like stress when you are fatigued and all of that. One way you know that what is afflicting you is of the devil is that it defies medical attention. No matter, because the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Whatever was caused is man-made, can be solved within the scope of medicine. You see that now? Once it defies medicine, a spirit has come into partnership with that situation. And my goodness, there are demonic sicknesses today that although there's great advancement in medicine, but we need to trust God to crush some of those sicknesses, like cancer. You see that now? Like some of these sicknesses that really don't have a cure. Healing to the nations. Healing to the nations. Satan is behind most sicknesses. Beloved brothers and sisters, please look at me. Those who are connected online, listen to me. If you do not believe that Satan is behind most of the sicknesses, then you will not be able to release your faith. If you believe they come from God, they could not have come from God. Jesus came to give life. Jesus came to heal. I showed you Matthew 10 and verse 1, Matthew 10 and 7, Matthew 10 and 8. All of them show the healing ministry of Jesus. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the healing ministry of Jesus. In the book of Mark, you read Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 2. All of them show the healing ministry of Jesus. The messianic prophecy about him captures within it healing. Hallelujah. Satan is behind it. I can tell you, he wants to kill you. And if you allow him, he will. Satan is behind the sicknesses. We were having our program, the School of Ministry in Canada and North America, really. And one of our precious ladies who was healed during Sound of Revival last year, she came participating in the School of Ministry. And when my attention was drawn to the fact that, remember this lady, she was on a walking aid. And when I saw the lady, I now remembered she was happy and jumping around. And I said, look at the miracle power of God. That lady would have been left there to die that way. No, sir. No, sir. We have a mandate to bring healing to the nations. Are you listening to me, ladies and gentlemen? It is at this point I want you to be sensitive. Because the next few minutes as I'll be talking about this, I truly believe that the power of God to heal, that someone, once you are seated, as you are listening to me, it will be like fire from this altar. It will come into your body and that demonic thing, whether it's a blood condition, whether it's a situation that has defied whatever medicine, in the name of Jesus, as I serve you the grace of God for the next few minutes, let the healing anointing flow like a river. Let it bring you healing. Shout a believing amen. Let the healing anointing flow like a river, flow through the airwaves, flow through every overflow, flow to Zaria, flow to UK, flow to US, in the name of Jesus. Number three, You must believe that it takes health and vitality to serve the Lord and live a victorious life. You must believe that it takes health and vitality to serve the Lord effectively and live a victorious life. If you are broken and wounded, you cannot serve the Lord effectively. Imagine that as I stood here right now, I'm not able to stand, or I'm not able to walk, or I'm not, and now there are many ways, but I'm talking of effectively serving the Lord and living a victorious life. It is difficult to describe victory in the presence of sickness and diseases. You have to be free from sickness and diseases to walk in the reality of victory. If you are learning, say amen. Now, very, very quickly, everybody, please lend me your attention. I want to give you the laws of health and then the laws of healing. The laws of health. Walking in health has spiritual laws. Reverend Akila, God bless you. God bless you. Good to see you, sir. Walking in health, I will give you four keys or five very quickly. Hallelujah. This is a revelation that God gave me. Number one, the first law to walk in health. Please, everybody, write this down. You must guard your heart with all diligence. This is the first way to walk in health. Guard your heart. Protect the information that you allow through your eye gate and through your ear gate. Guard your heart with all diligence. You want to walk in health? I'm telling you, the first key is guard your heart. There are all kinds of negativities around our world. And if you do not take responsibility over your eye gate and over your ear gate, you will hear things. And because the mind thinks in images, the mind will begin to give image to the information that you have received. Job said, "The thing I feared most has come upon me." Are we together? Oh, they say anybody who crosses 50, your chance of living has reduced by 75%, for instance. And you keep consuming that news. What do you think Satan is going to tell you? You are celebrating 50 by June. Get ready to die soon. And you will think it will not touch you until you start meditating upon it. One day you will start having dreams, seeing yourself in the grave. Before you know it, truly you will die. Guard your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, very quickly. The second key. Speak life. Speak life. Speak victory. Speak healing. Learn to use the power of word-based declarations. Deploy the power of faith-filled confessions, if you want to put it that way. Engage the power of faith-filled confessions. Speak life, sir. In the name of Jesus, I will not die. I live and declare the works of the Lord. I decree and declare, He keeps my bones and none is missing. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I declare that I enjoy bodily vitality. Apostle, what do I say when, whilst I'm speaking, I'm having a little pain? You keep saying that truth. Keep saying that truth. It's not irresponsibility. Keep saying that truth. The presence of the pain should not make you stop declaring what the Bible says should. Have you not read that while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen? For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are seen are eternal. You superimpose whatever you are feeling by faith-filled declarations. Even if you are in the hospital, my beloved brother and my sister, you are in the hospital, you are in admission, you are being treated, don't feel embarrassed to speak the word of God. Health is my portion, even while the drip is still flowing. In the name of Jesus, your leg is still hanging, waiting to be healed from the bone surgery. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, I walk in health, I walk in vitality. This is what makes you a spiritual man. The Bible says the carnal man cannot understand the things of the spirit. When you are making those declarations, maybe sometimes the medical attendant will say, "What are you saying? We are still trying to look at your results and it doesn't look well." Your own is just to keep saying it. Let the redeemed of the Lord have taught you, say so. Let the victorious of the Lord say so. Let the healed of the Lord say so. Number one, guard your heart. Guard your eye gate. Guard your ear gate. Number two, deploy the power of faith-filled confessions. Speak life. Number three, this is where doctors and nutritionists help us. Eat right. Obtain grace to eat healthy. Obtain grace to eat right. If you don't eat well, it can kill you. It's the truth. Disease not the kill African man. Save Johnny. Just because God showed you mercy in the days of ignorance, don't turn his grace to become something that works against you. Are we together? Let me tell you the truth. As God upgrades you, before you upgrade your clothes and upgrade your wardrobe, upgrade your health. Wearing good clothes in a dying body is not wisdom. Wearing good hair in a dying head or a dying body is not wisdom. I'm telling you this. Upgrade the water you drink. Upgrade the hygiene around your house. These are nobler things. It's a wise use of money. Instead of living a fake life and dying, they will fight over your clothes like they fought over Jesus' clothes. Is someone learning tonight? The church is the place of wisdom where you raise not just vibrant people, but responsible people. I'm telling you, if as a student you manage a lot of things, you took bad water, food that is almost spoiled, now that God has given you a job, start upgrading your health. It is all right to take supplements. Pentecostal charismatics, it is all right to take supplements. So go and meet a doctor if he recommends for you organic supplements, especially because of the quality of food that is available today. It is not unscriptural and it is not lack of faith to take quality recommended supplements within the medical advice you are given. Absolutely. Hallelujah. A great man of God almost lost his life years ago, and it was just one component that was missing, and he almost died. Don't die the death of a fool. Eat right. Eat right. If the food is spoiled, throw it away. Don't warm it and eat it when you know it's not working. Please throw it away in the name of Jesus Christ. I have a responsibility over you, and I will tell you that. Say amen. Amen. Some of you, is because of is greed that makes you to living things. You hate things leaving you, even when it's not working. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the truth. A medical doctor advised me, and there are many, many medical doctors here. He said, I was telling the workers, for every 10-year cycle in your age, you need to reinvent a health program that keeps you alive. That means from 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, there are things you cannot afford doing again. Are we together? You can't keep piling sugar and say, I'm just like that. No. And then beyond eating bad and all of that, sometimes, oh God, help me. When I say these things, I'm guilty about it too, but I have to teach the truth. You see why it's important to love God? Because sometimes you need to tell the truth, whether it affects you, even if you are a victim of what you are saying. You will say it, then go and listen to your own message and repent before God. Hallelujah. Eat right. Say in Jesus' name, I obtain grace to eat right. In Africa, we do interesting things. We sit in front, we take beverages, we don't take water. One of our doctors was telling me one time, that did you know that many, the rate at which people are having kidney issues, and it's because they don't take water. There's a recommendation of the amount of water people should take just for defying the law of water alone. People can just die. You know, the more you work in health, the easier it makes our job. The easier it makes our job. The obedience of members will help pastors to live longer too. Number what now? Quickly. Number four. Are you ready for number four? Practice fasting. If you like, believe. If you like, don't believe, but just take this as a godly advice. Practice fasting. Not foolishly, but practice fasting. Beyond the spiritual benefit of fasting, I am telling you this, except you have a medical advice otherwise, but I am telling you periodic fasting is a blessing to your health. It's true. Sometimes you just need to suspend this overeating for a while. Sometimes you can discipline yourself and go a whole day just taking fruits. This is not a medical advice, but it's an advice. Are we together? It's an advice, though. It's an advice that works. Don't pile in all kinds of things. Your body is tired. All the signs, you know, the body has signs. All your signs are on full display that the body is tired and you won't let it rest. Practice fasting. It accomplishes two things. One is building your life spiritually, building your faith. But number two is helping your body. I'm telling you. Because if you don't practice it, when you are grounded medical-wise, you will still fast. I hope you know. When you are in the hospital, you will still fast. By the time your mouth cannot open on its own, you will still fast. Better to fast willingly now. Number five. This is the point I confess publicly before saying this one. Rest. Practice rest. Be very diligent, but you must rest. God forgive me. I'm saying it openly now in front of everybody. Rest. Joshua Selman. Rest. Koinonia Global. Rest. Body of Christ. Rest. Hardworking people. Rest. Minus lazy people. Minus lazy people. Because you've not done anything that warrants rest. Lazy people, wake up. Everybody say rest. But on a serious note, jokes apart, you have to trust God for grace to rest. I'm telling you. I never knew that there are certain diseases and illnesses that are directly stress-related. Not malnutrition, stress-related. And sometimes you know zeal can immune you. Zeal works like anesthesia. It numbs you from seeing the gravity and the weight of stress on you, because you want to see the goal achieved. You may not know, and sometimes you strain yourself and then you destroy yourself. Your organs just pack up. So in the name of Jesus, both me and you, all of us together, we receive grace to rest. Rest. The last key to maintaining health. Ready? Maintain joy and gladness of heart. Maintain joy. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dryeth the bones. Maintain joy and gladness of heart. Let me run through the keys again. Number one, the keys to health. Guard your heart. Speak life, or deploy the power of word-based, faith-filled confessions. Number three, eat right, eat healthy. Number four, practice fasting. Number five, rest. When you are spent, when the body shows you the signal, rest. Number six, maintain joy. Everybody say, my joy will never be taken away from me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I remain ever joyful. Joy. Now, very quickly, the laws of healing. I told you that health is different from healing. Health has to do with maintenance of bodily vitality. Healing has to do with curative and corrective steps to restore you to a point of vitality. Number one, believe it is the will of God for you to be healed. I'm speaking to someone right now who struggled with sickness, struggled with disease. Believe it is the will of God for you to be healed. No matter how bad that state is. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If God can raise the dead, then God can perfect the living. Write that down. If God can raise the dead, then God can perfect the living. Let me say that again. If God can raise the dead, then he can perfect the living. Provided you are alive, it is never too late. If God can raise the dead, then God can perfect the living. Apostle, but I trusted God for the healing of my loved one and they died. Please listen to my message. Again, I say rejoice. For those who are in a state of despair, you've released your faith and it did not work. There's a message for you. Again, I say rejoice. It's a powerful message that will be a blessing to you. Particularly when you are in a state of hopelessness. It's a word for you. Believe it is the will of God for you to be healed. If God can raise the dead, then he can quicken or perfect the living. Number two, be willing to receive healing. That's the second key. Acts chapter 3 from verse 1 to 9. We're not reading it, just write it for sake of time. The particular verses of emphasis is 3 to 5. This was the healing of the man at Gate Beautiful. The full text is 1 to 9, but the verse of emphasis is 3 to 5. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for an alms. Verse 4. It says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, said, look on us. Verse 5. And he looked at them, expecting to receive. It is one thing to know that God desires to heal you, but it's another thing to expect a miracle. You must expect it. The Bible says your expectation shall not be cut short. You must expect it. Now that you found yourself in a health crisis, you must expect that God heals. As we worship in your presence, there is healing. The Holy Spirit's gentle touch is flowing, Jesus. I believe, Jesus, there is healing in your name. As we worship in your presence, there is healing. The Holy Spirit's gentle touch is flowing, Jesus. I believe, Jesus, there is healing in your name. I sense the healing anointing beginning to flow. That's why I raised that song. And shortly, I'm going to be speaking healing to the nations. I'm speaking healing to individuals. If you do not expect healing, it doesn't matter what kind of anointing is in that place. God cannot force salvation on you. God cannot force deliverance on you. God cannot force healing. They all came with the same package. The same way you receive salvation, new birth, is the same way you receive healing. You must be willing to receive healing. Number three, the third key, if you want to receive healing, is that there must be what the Bible calls the hearing of faith. Please write that down. There must be the hearing of faith. What does that mean? You must be exposed to the word of God and what it says concerning your healing. It's called the hearing of faith. There cannot truly, now, there are times where the glory of God can come, but you see, the word of God and the ministry of the Spirit responds to his word. There must be the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. You must know what God has said concerning your health. I have come to give you life and to give you more abundantly. I will bring you health and cure. That's what he said. I am Jehovah Rapha, the one that heals you. I will heal your wounds, and so on and so forth. And sometimes that hearing of faith can come like I taught you on Sunday. You can get healing scriptures. This is where we thank God for technology. There are already healing scriptures, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, healing scriptures, and you just keep listening to it, and it's just sinking into your spirit, driving away fear, doubt. There must be the hearing of faith. There must be the hearing of faith. Is someone hearing now? You are trusting God for a miracle. a change of genotype. You are trusting God for a miracle. Cancer. You are trusting God for a miracle. Diabetes. You're trusting God for a miracle. Some growth, some respiratory problem, some reproductive problem. You are trusting God for some, it doesn't matter what area. The hearing of faith. You must know that Jesus heals. He's not just a saving Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. And the same sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot believe salvation and disbelieve healing. It's the same thing that brought, the same package brought two of them. Salvation is healing for your spirit. Are we together now? There is healing, emotional healing for your soul. But then there is the bodily healing, a revitalizing of your body. It comes from the word zao or anazao. It means to quicken, to bring back, to make alive. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal body, that same spirit will revitalize your body. Will revitalize your mortal body. Apostle, there's some breast lump. I'm already sensing there's cancer. I was told that this and that and that. Ladies and gentlemen, give God a chance for the next few minutes and let that healing river flow to you. Believe me. Believe me. Jesus still heals. Jesus still heals. Our generation is gradually downplaying the power of Jesus to heal. Now, in a bid to encourage our humanity and take away pretense, are we together? In a bid to tell people don't lie, don't fake that you are not taking drugs, we need to be careful so that we don't bring people down from that divine realm and overly keep them human. No, it is true that you should not be ashamed of your battles. Fight with honor, but please do not forget you are divine. And don't forget that there is life and power that comes from Jesus. There must be the hearing of faith, the words that produce faith. Number four, you must release your faith to receive by acting upon the word. You must release your faith to receive healing by acting upon the word. Write that down, please. Luke 5, 24 to 26. You must release your faith by acting upon the word. You must release your faith by acting upon the word. Now, let me add one more for you. Provoke healing by creating an atmosphere of worship. I taught you this on Sunday. Provoke healing by creating an atmosphere of worship. That glory, when you can provoke the atmosphere in worship, you just saturate that atmosphere and healing flows. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The saints and the angels bow. The redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The saints and the angels bow. The redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. So we lift our heads to the great I am, who was and who is and is to We're going to pray these three levels of healing right now. And I want to speak to everybody following and those who are here. Please participate maximally. The healing of the spirit, that will come with the altar call. But I want us to focus on these two dimensions. The solical healing. Healing from wounds and pains and hurts that have lingered for so long, tying down your life and healing to your body. For this one, please, I'd like you to look for a neighbor. Find a neighbor. We're going to pray the second layer of healing. Find a neighbor and hold the hands of that neighbor. Begin to intercede for that neighbor for the next 2 minutes. In the name of Jesus, you are a life-giving spirit. Go ahead and begin to pray. Those who are connecting from Zaria, connecting from across the globe, hold the hands of a neighbor. Hold the hands of someone if you have someone by your left and right. Let's start with emotional healing, the healing of the soul. I'd like you to pray right now that the river of God's healing will drive away unforgiveness, will drive away hurts, will drive away pains, will drive away all kinds of things. Wounds of the past, wounds of yesterday, wounds of yesteryears, disappointments. Will drive away the wounds from disappointed expectations. Will drive away the wounds from rejection. Will drive away the wounds from betrayal. Will drive away the wounds. Go ahead and intercede. Father, it's time to have a generation that is healed. Healed in mind. Healed in emotions. Lift your voice and pray, Koinonia. Koinonia Global. Body of Christ in Nigeria. Pastors following. Let's pray for the healing of a generation. No transference of emotional wounds. No transference of emotional hurts. From father to child. From generation to generation. From pastor to members. From superiors to subordinates, from husband to wife, wife to husband. There's need for a generation that is healed. Lift your voice and pray. Regardless the story, regardless the mistakes, regardless the justices or the injustices, it's time for you to go forward with your life and your destiny. You are praying. Take this one seriously. Now begin to pray for yourself. I am free from unforgiveness. I'm free from hatred, free from bitterness, free from jealousy, free from fear, free from anger. Lift your voice and pray.
There is a fountain filled with blood.
Sing it for me.
That flow me
lift your voice and pray.
And sinners blood beneath the blood lose all their guilty sin.
Someone is praying. I declare healing. I declare healing over my mind. I declare healing over my emotions. Smiling in the midst of pain. Smiling in the midst of pretenses. It's time to be authentic. It's time to make progress in destiny.
You make the darkness.
Lekata. Healed in my mind. Healed from your past. Healed from your fears. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you this. We're still praying one more prayer. The second layer. You're going to declare, I go forward in the name of Jesus. Everywhere hurt and pain has kept me for years and for decades, I release myself to go forward right now. Open your mouth and pray. I release myself. Political hurt, political pain, career hurt, they are like chains. They bind you and they keep you in one spot. I like you to declare jubilee. Jubilee for your destiny. I declare that I go forward. The former relationship did not work. I come to terms with it. I go forward. The former job did not come through. I go forward. I go forward. It's my season of healing. I go forward. Freedom in my mind. My psychology is intact. My belief systems intact. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, my confidence is intact. In Jesus' name we pray. Before I minister to your body, let me minister to your mind. Every low self-esteem, every lie the devil has told you, you are not beautiful enough, you are not handsome enough, you are not intelligent enough, you are a non-entity because you don't have money, all those lies, I decree and declare, may those lies leave your mind forever. Hear me? Every unhealthy pressure to do things so that you can belong because of a feeling of rejection, I bind that influence from your life. In the name of Jesus. Some of us, because of low self-esteem, we cover it with pride and we cannot humble ourselves to learn. Something you can learn for 5 minutes has taken you 5 years to learn. Because pride will not allow. Pride is a direct result of low self-esteem. When you have a poor estimation of yourself, you will feel embarrassed to stoop down and learn. Only healed people can learn. Humility to learn is proof that you have grown. I pray for you. Everywhere pride has cheated you, that would not allow you learn from your wife, learn from your children, learn from your subordinates, learn from your superiors, I declare that spirit lives your life forever. And all of the people you have boxed in your heart, that you will not let them go, I pray for you. This one I will pray for grace and mercy, because I don't know the premise upon which they got there. But in the name of Jesus, for the sake of your own destiny and the destiny of your children, I declare, let there be a release right now. Let there be a release right now. Everyone locked up in the prison of your heart, I release them right now. And I also release you to go forward. In the name of Jesus. Now lay your hands where you are trusting God for healing and begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, healing is mine. You can stand in for someone if you are not sick. You can lay your hands on behalf of someone. You know someone in the hospital who is dying. Go ahead and pray. Everyone, lift your voice and pray. All over the nations of the earth, Kenya, South Africa, Ghana, US, Qatar, UAE, Russia, everywhere in Nigeria, across the 36 states, and those who are here on site, lift up your voice and begin to receive healing. You died for my healing. I receive it. even though it's not manifested yet, I receive it. Logizomai, I reckon with the fact that by his stripes I am healed. I make it my profession. I declare it is mine in the name of Jesus. Those who are following from hospitals, whether it's a blood condition, whether it is cancer, whether it is HIV, whether it's a liver problem, sinuses, problem with your blood, bone conditions, regardless what it is, release your faith in 1 minute. You are praying. Don't be silent.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is light. Break every strong. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Someone lift your voice in 1 minute. I'm about to speak over your life.
Your name is God. Your name is healing. Your name is
break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn light.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is light. It breaks every stronghold. Shines through the shadows. Burns light.
Keep your hands there. I want to pray for you right now. For as many who are across the nations, we want to bring healing to the nations right now. And I want you to believe. We'll not have the time to take testimonies because our time is gone. But as I release my faith and I pray for you, ladies and gentlemen, the healing ministry of Jesus has not come to an end. No. He's extended that ministry to us. He's given us the opportunity to speak in the name that is above all names. Right now, from US to UK to Ghana to Kuwait to Qatar, the Middle East, Southern Africa, Eastern Africa, Western Africa, the south of Nigeria, southeast, southwest, middle belt, north, I decree and declare by the power that raised Christ from the dead, every devil of infirmity, every sickness, every disease, every discomfort that's plaguing your body and the bodies of God's people, caused by demons, caused by Satan, in the name of Jesus, let his power be broken over your body now. Let his power be broken over your body now. Let his power be broken over your body now. Let his power be broken over your body now. Let his power be broken over your body now. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Cancer, be healed. HIV, be healed. Fibroids, be healed. Sinuses, be healed. Back pain, be healed. Respiratory problems, be healed. Headaches, be healed. Blood conditions, be healed. Diabetes of all types, be healed. Hepatitis, be healed. Ulcers, be healed. Bone conditions, be healed. Liver problems, be healed. Kidney problems, be healed. Mobility problems, be healed. Swellings and growths, disappear. Eye problems, be healed. Hearing problems, be healed. Reproductive problems, be healed. Urinary problems, be healed.
well.
Be healed. Injuries that have refused to be healed, we close them and we declare be healed. Lumps and growths, be healed. The inability to smell, be restored right now. Deafness, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every condition of failed organs, let there be a restoration now. The God who restored Naaman, may he restore your body now. I'm hearing in my spirit skin conditions. Be healed in the name of Jesus. There's someone, I don't know what problem you have with your tongue. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Gastrointestinal problems, be healed in the name of Jesus. Let's take it down to our children. Autism, be healed in Jesus' name. ADHD, be healed in Jesus' name. Inability to talk and walk, in the name of Jesus, we bring healing to our children across the nations. In the name of Jesus, those who cannot hear, may they begin to hear. Those who cannot see, may they begin to see. Those who are incoherent, we declare coordination for them. Those having neurological problems, let there be healing. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lumbar problems, be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Brain tumors, be healed right now. Brain tumors, be healed right now. Brain tumors, be healed right now. Hair loss, be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Severe bleeding, be healed right now. Severe bleeding, be healed right now. Prostate cancer, be healed right now. Leukemia, be healed right now. If it has a name, it has a knee. We command it to bow to the Lordship of Jesus. Everybody shout, I am healed. Say it again, 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 I am healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now for the next 1 minute, I'd like you to, just by way of contact, let's stretch our hands and pray for the nations of the earth. The healing of lands. There is the healing of the human, but there is the healing of lands. The Bible talks about the healing of the land, and he tied it to his people. There is something my people will do, and nations can be healed. Healing to the nations is beyond the tripartite man. We need to heal the elemental forces, the systems. You see the aggression that nature is bringing. Everywhere, nature that should bless man. Weather conditions, whatever it is. Let's use this opportunity. It's part of the healing ministry. Now you are going to act for 1 minute as a life-giving spirit and say, in the name of Jesus, we bring healing. Go ahead and pray. Healing to the nations. Healing to vegetation. Healing to our atmosphere. Our atmosphere was not designed to kill us. Our water was not designed to kill us. Our weather was not designed to kill us. The earth was not designed to kill us. The trees, the animals was not designed to kill us. Every manipulation around our ecosystem ministering death to us, we bring healing right now. Healing to our food, healing to our water, healing to our air, healing to the nations. Ghana be healed, Russia be healed, US be healed, Middle East be healed, Africa be healed, Nigeria be healed. Go ahead and speak. Is someone praying? 1 minute, you are an intercessor. Let that rain rest upon the nations. The ministry of healing. We bring healing to homes. We bring healing to offices. We bring healing to the young. We bring healing to the aged. We bring healing to governments. We bring healing to institutions. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now, let me minister the most important aspect of the healing of the spirit. The Bible says, this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and that that life is in his Son, so that whoso has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have his life. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you that man is tripartite, and the greatest dimension of healing is the healing of the spirit, a reconnection, an awakening from death to life. This only happens when you receive the gospel and the life that comes with that gospel. For someone here, you are saying, Apostle, I'm not sick in my body. And quite honestly, my mind is fairly stable. I've had the best of life, or I've had the worst of life. But of all those things, I sense a disconnect. I know, like a fish out of water, like a bird trapped in a cage, not allowed to fly. I know there is a hunger and a longing in me for Jesus. I'm going to make that altar call wherever you are, across the balcony, right here, all the overflows, and to as many who are connecting. As I make that altar call, please take tonight seriously. Don't wait for anybody to be the first. You will leave your seat and very quickly come and stand and say, Apostle, I need eternal healing. Healing beyond the body. Healing beyond my mind. Healing beyond therapy. Healing beyond counsel. I need life. Wherever you are, I'm going to count 1 to 5. Please leave your seat, and right now, I present to you Jesus, the Savior. God bless you, sir. Jesus, the healer. Jesus, the Redeemer. Come. Come. God bless you. You can stand facing me. Let's celebrate them as they come. And I'm desperate for you. Like a fish returning to water. Like the bird being let out of a cage. That's what is happening to you. Come. 3. It's able to give you eternal healing. You can start afresh with Jesus. And I, and I. What shall it profit a man, the Bible says, if that man gains? You can gain bodily healing. You can gain mental freedom. But if you do not have Jesus in your heart and the life that he's brought, you do not have your eternity secured. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have summoned the courage to stand before me, the many who are connected online across all our expressions, and to those who are following by way of internet and our platforms, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is truly the answer to the hunger of the human spirit. There is a cancer that has plagued the human spirit that no surgeon's precision can reach. There is only so much the best of surgeons cannot penetrate the heart and get to the spirit of man. But Jesus died already to give us a new and a living way. And to my dear brothers and sisters standing here, I salute every one of you for your courage. Lift your right hand, let it be high above your head, and say this loud and say this clear. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I come to you just as I am. I ask you to be my Savior. I ask you to be my Lord. I ask you to be my friend. I ask you to be my King. I receive your life into my spirit, and I declare that from tonight, I am a child of God. The power of sin, of Satan, of hell, of the grave is broken over my life. From this day, I declare that I have the life of God. I am a child of God. I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. I live my life for Jesus. Amen. Keep your beautiful hands lifted. Father, thank you for these precious brothers and sisters here on ground in Zaria, across our expressions, and the many who are making this decision online. Perhaps someone who is even listening by way of rebroadcast. And you are saying, Apostle, I'm listening after the live service. Can I make this decision? Absolutely. It is never too late if it has to do with Jesus. I pray for you, brothers and sisters, that the grace that keeps will keep you. I call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. The grace to live the victorious life is imparted upon you. You are born again. You belong to Jesus. You will spend your life knowing Him, loving Him, and serving Him. Go from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Congratulations. Please do me a favor. I request that you look at my right. There are counselors waving the yellow placard, and they will be glad to have a word with you. God bless you, my dear brother. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. So you can join them very quickly. Let's honor them as they go very quickly. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Let me speak a blessing over your life very quickly, and we're done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, so the media has sent me an update of life expectancy in Africa. They say it's grown. It's now about 64.2%. So we're living longer. But it's still below the global average. Global average is about 70-something percent in the name of Jesus Christ. You will live more than that. And anything that wants to kill you, God will kill it before it gets to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and receive the blessing for the week. I declare your week blessed. I declare your days blessed. I declare your hours blessed. Your minutes blessed. Your seconds blessed. Your mind blessed. Your home blessed. Your children blessed. Your spouse blessed. Your goals and plans blessed. The works of your hands blessed. Your business blessed. Everything God has given you blessed. In the name of Jesus. Let this week, as always, be a week of laughter for you. A week of joy and victory. And because of our discussion tonight, we call it a week of healing for you. Emotional healing. Physical healing. Healing of your mind. Where you will unclog your mind and be free from every hurt and wound in the name of Jesus. The grace to go forward I release upon you. In the name of Jesus. The grace to be confident in who and what God has made out of you. I release that grace upon you. Every man who despises you will not come near you. God will keep them far from you. Let good things come to you this week. Let good news happen to you this week. In the name of Jesus. Spiritually, you are on fire this week. Your prayer life is on fire this week. Your word study life is on fire. Your love for Jesus and the brethren is on fire. In the name of Jesus, this week will be a week of extraordinary accomplishments. I feel led to speak that to someone. Extraordinary accomplishments. You will walk in the reality of victory and dominion. You are a life-giving spirit. And it will be evident this week. Your words will give life. Your words will bring healing. Your hands will give life. Your hands will bring healing. Your resources will give life. Your resources will bring healing. Your smiles will bring life. Your presence will bring healing. In the name of Jesus. Everywhere there is death, as you enter, you bring life and healing. I call you a life-giving spirit. In your home, a life-giving spirit. In your job, a life-giving spirit. In your place of work, a life-giving spirit. Whoever you bless is blessed. Whoever you bless is blessed. Everyone who fights you goes down. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come next week, you will return with testimonies. 10 times better. 1,000-fold bigger. Shout amen 3 times. Hallelujah. Let's share the grace together. As always, Let me encourage you. Please go back and listen to this message. You may cry while listening, but just listen to it again. And let that healing river through this message come to you again. And you know someone who needs this word of healing. Please get it across to them. The healing ministry. Tonight God brought healing to our lives and healing to the nations. Father, we thank you. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, let it rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, all the days of our lives, as we dwell in the house of the Lord, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.